This is my Bible. I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind's alert. My heart's receptive. I'll not leave the same. I will not leave the same as I came in Jesus' name. And every time I come to Church on the Rock, my faith and my life get stronger and stronger. I am a doer of the Word of God. Ooh, you sound so good. Now let's thank God for the Word, can we? Come on, let's thank you for the Word, Lord. Hallelujah. Now what we're going to do is we're going to get closer to God. We're going to know God better when we leave here today. Because, see, I can't know God without being in the Word of God, the Bible. So you might have come today or you're watching online. You say, boy, I need a word from God. I'm going to give you several words from God, the Bible. Pastor, God hasn't spoken to me for so long. Well, He's going to speak to you and me today through the Word of God. That's why you want to go to a church that teaches the Word of God. You don't just want my story. You want the Word of God. Amen? So we're finishing our series on overflowing gratitude. And we found out that gratitude and a thankful heart is the healthiest emotion we have. It's the healthiest virtue we have is having an attitude of gratitude or a thankful heart. That it affects how we sleep. We've looked at all this the whole month. It affects how we sleep. It affects our immune system. It affects our resilience. It affects, we bounce back and don't break under pressure. We bounce back and don't break under pressure. Attitude of gratitude and a thankful heart is a sustaining power. Thankfulness will carry you through this season into the next season. A thankful heart, it gives you sustaining power. It gives you resilience. It gives you strength. The depth of our thankfulness reveals the depth of our maturity. We've looked at all these things. I encourage you, oh my goodness, go back over. You can go to our website. You can go to our phone app. You can download them and listen to them because once is not enough. You educators out here, we have several public school teachers and principals in our church, you have to listen to something 7 times to actually retain it. 7 times. That's why we give you a daily dose on our phone app throughout the week of what we talked about on Sunday. So we're looking at overflowing gratitude, and we've looked at all the benefits, and we've looked at how to develop it. But my big idea today is this is Thanksgiving weekend. You have family and friends here, and we're reminiscing, we're remembering Thanksgivings from past year. And maybe this year hasn't been so good for you. Maybe it's been a year of loss of a loved one, or maybe your health, or maybe a job, maybe a relationship, maybe a decision that went sour, maybe a project that failed. We all deal with problems, pressure, and people every day of our life. And a grateful heart will give you the power to move beyond pressure, problems, and people. You know, I'm thinking in my own life, my own story. Many of you know it, but when we planted this church 42 years ago, we left our denomination, and the people around us, they loved us, but they told us, you're crazy. Going to St. Peter's, Missouri. Now, folks, I go all the way back. When you drive into St. Peter's, the population sign was 9,000. And the main area, there was no malls. The main area was Old Town St. Peter's. I used to have to go to the post office to pick up the church mail in Old Town St. Peter's. So we had family and friends saying, you're crazy. There's no potential. Don't go there. We left our denomination. We had no insurance, no hospital insurance. My wife was pregnant. She was pregnant with Stephen. She had to have an early birth because of toxemia poisoning. And so Stephen was a premature baby. And I'll never forget, you talk about dark seasons. And when you think, what can I thank God for? Maybe you're here, or maybe you're online, and you're thinking, Pastor, you're reading my mail because right now it's dark. Right now, you know, I can't think of anything to thank God for. Instead of gratefulness, I'm holding a grudge. Instead of gratefulness, I'm mad at God. I'm mad at my ex. I'm mad at my family. I'm mad at the church. I'm mad. You know, a lot of people right now are holding a grudge instead of being grateful at God, man, circumstances. And I remember we were planting the church. We had 35 people. We didn't know from week to week what our salary would be. We were the only employees here. It was from week to week, no insurance. She was in the hospital. And talk about doctor behavior, bedside manner. If I'm lying, I'm frying. That after Stephen was born, the doctor came into that dark, dingy hospital room that I was waiting in. It was late at night, early morning. And he said this to me, Mr. Blunt, don't worry about naming your baby. You have a baby boy, but don't worry about, it's exactly what he said, don't worry about naming him. Don't worry about the birth certificate because he's going to be dead before the night's over. You talk about a dark day. You know, I know what it is. You know, my father died when I was 29 years old. And my dad, you know, he was my hero. And every Sunday, he'd call me Sunday night. We'd have Sunday night church. And I was pastoring in St. Peter's, another church, before we planted a church on the rock. And he would call me every Sunday night. And two questions, he'd always say, Dave, how many people got born again today? And the second question would always be, how many got filled with the Holy Spirit? I look forward to that call every Sunday night for my hero, my father. But on Memorial weekend, he died. And that Sunday night, I never got a phone call. Talk about loneliness, dark, misunderstanding. God, we left everything to come plant this church. And here my father dies and my son was about to die. And people are saying we're out of the will of God or this stuff wouldn't happen. Here's what I found out, church. It's usually when bad stuff's going on, you're in the will of God. It's usually when you're fighting the good fight of faith and you got to wake up and say, am I going to be a victim today or am I going to be a fighter today? You got to get up and fight the good fight of faith. I found out when the road is hard, dry, and dusty, challenges, people, pressure, problems, usually you're right smack in the will of God. Yeah, amen. So I know what it is. You know, my brother, he died when I was 17. He died when he was 22 years old. My sister died. My mother died. All my immediate family's dead. I'm the only one left on the planet. I know what it is to lose. I know what it is to feel like a failure when we were planting this church and it was going south instead of going up in the very beginning. I know what it is to go through lack. I know what it is. Kim and I, we were youth pastors at a church and they didn't pay us enough. And so the government garnished our wages and took out of our weekly wage and we could barely skimp and get by. We'd go to Goodwill. I understand what all that's like. But I want to give you hope today. Those of you that are going through a dark season, a time of your life, we think, Pastor, what in the world can I thank God for? Everything's going wrong. Everything that I thought would happen hasn't happened this year. I'm lonely through the holidays. I dread the holidays. Pastor, what can I do? I want to give you five things you can be thankful for today. Is that okay? Five things you can be thankful for today. So let's lay a framework before we get to those five things. We know in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7, therefore, as you've received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Having been firmly rooted, and let me extract the word rooted. I love that kind of talk. And being built up, oh, that's intriguing to me. That'll draw me in. I want to know how to be built up. I want to know how to be rooted. I want to know how to sustain. I want to know how to be strong in the storm. I want to know how to get through what I'm going through and come out better, come out bigger in Jesus' name. So I like it when I read the word rooted and built up and established in your faith. Just as you were instructed, that tells me that I have to be taught to be thankful. It doesn't come natural. I'm born selfish. I don't know about you. So as you were instructed, and overflowing, here's where I get the title for the series, overflowing with gratitude. Overflowing with gratitude. So notice that my level of gratitude reveals how deep my roots are. My level of gratitude and being thankful and appreciative and making lemonade out of this lemon and a milkshake out of my milk and bloom where I'm planted. And what are the grass on this side of the fence instead of looking for grass greener on the other side of the fence? Deciding, I'm going to be happy now. I'm not going to be a victim. I'm going to be a fighter. I'm going to rise up. I'm going to be built up. I'm going to be rooted. I'm going to be established. I'm going to be strong. I'm going to make it through with an overflowing attitude of gratitude. There's a scripture in the Bible. Don't go there, but it's 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. Let the word talk to you today. It says, thanks be unto God. Thanks be unto God. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Thanks be unto God who causes me always to triumph. So I see, I connect the dots. I see that my victory is connected to my attitude of gratitude. My victory is connected to my thankfulness. Now, thanks be unto God. When I'm giving thanks unto God, I triumph over trouble. I triumph over oppression, opposition, persecution, affliction, suffering. I triumph. Giving thanks unto God, even when in the natural there's nothing to give thanks for, if I'll do it as an act of sacrifice, there's a great reward in that. It releases great power in that in my life. Amen. Can we have a praise break? I just feel like praising Him right now. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So we're going to move right on. Psalm 54, verse 6. I will. It's an act of my will. I don't wait till I feel like it, because usually I won't feel like it. But it's an act of my will. Again, when I get up tomorrow morning, I have to make a decision. Am I going to be a victim on Monday morning, or am I going to be a fighter? I'm going to be a fighter. I'm going to fight the good fight of faith. I'm going to win this battle. We're not losing. We're learning and winning. We're not losing. We're learning. We're winning. That's the language of a champion. I will offer a sacrifice. So when I go to church when I don't feel like it, there's a greater reward. When I enter in and I don't feel like it, there's a greater reward. When I lift up my hands and I begin to thank God, I don't know what for, but I just begin to thank God, there's a greater reward in that than doing it when I feel like doing it. And notice this verse says, we're getting into Christmas now. We're getting gifts for those that we love and honor and esteem. But notice, this is a gift back to God. I'm going to give a special gift to you, God. What are you going to give, Dave? I'm going to give you the act of thanksgiving. Even when it's dark, even when it's dim still, even when it looks dead, even when it looks like it'll never turn around, even when I feel lousy, I'm going to give you the sacrifice of thanksgiving, God. Why? Because your word says if I do it, I'll have an ROI. I'll have a return on my investment. I'll see things turn around. Y'all remember Jonah and the whale? Jonah and the whale? Just fake it till you make it. Y'all remember that story? Okay, he went to Whale University. It's a whale of a story. You are laughing at my jokes. Praise the Lord. Jonah and the whale, and he was running from God, the opposite direction. And so he jumped on a ship and went the opposite direction. A storm came up. They threw him overboard. A large fish swallowed him. And then on the third day, what did he do? I'm trying to think, why did it take him 3 days? But anyway, that tells you something about his attitude and his nature. On the third day, it says he offered up the sacrifice of praise, and the fish vomited him up on dry beach. What happened? Everything turned around. He got his breakthrough. He got delivered when he began to offer up the sacrifice of praise unto the Most High God. I like that. Look at Psalm 27, verse 6 on the screen. And now shall my head. Our battleground is in our head, isn't it, Church on the Rock? It's not with people. Don't hold a grudge against God. Don't hold a grudge against your family. Don't hold a grudge against your ex. Don't hold a grudge against Christians or the church or people. It's going to get you nowhere fast. The battleground is between our ears. Don't give real estate in your head to things you don't want in your life. Don't give real estate in your head to things you don't want in your life. Because as you think, so your life will be. The battleground is our thought life. The battleground is our thought life. You'll never rise above your thoughts. You'll never rise above your thoughts. Think about the last time you were depressed, maybe yesterday. Think about what you were thinking about. Think about what you were thinking about. We've all been there. And now my head will be lifted up above all my enemies, the enemy of fear, the enemy of anxiety, the enemy of self-pity, the enemy of discouragement. Notice all my enemies round about me, in my tent works at your house. What are you going to do? I will. We're not going to wait till we feel like it. It's an act of our will. It's a choice. Tomorrow morning, I'm a fighter or I'm a victor, victim. I'm a victor or a victim. I'm a fighter or a victim. I will offer up the sacrifice. That means I don't feel like doing it, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to be a leader in my house. I'm going to be a priest in my house. I'm going to offer up the sacrifice of praise. I'm a carrier of the atmosphere in my house. I'm going to change the climate in my house. I'm going to change the climate as the gatherings all through the holidays with my family. The curse is broken over my life. Generational curses stop with me. Oh, come on, let's have a praise break, can we? Come on, offer up the sacrifice of praise. So what do you do when you don't feel like thanking God? What do you do when everything's gone wrong? What do you do when you face loss, hurt? What do you do when the darkest season of your life, the darkest day, the darkest year, what can I thank God for? Five things. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18 on the screen. Not four. I don't thank him for divorce, for sickness, for death, for misery, for heartbreak, for poor health. I don't thank him for that. But in the midst of all of it, if I wanted to change, I'm going to thank him in it while I'm going through it. So in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God. So generosity and gratefulness opens the door to the will of God. Gratefulness and thankfulness creates opportunities in my life. It opens doors in my life. It attracts the right people in my life. Nobody wants to be around miserable people. It attracts the right people in my life. It opens doors in my life. It brings increase in my life. It promotes me in my life. An attitude of gratitude, a thankful heart. It positions me to be in the will of God. You see, if you're confused today and you want to know what to do today, the quickest thing you can do is begin to give God thanks right now. Just begin to give him thanks. Begin to give him praise. Well, what for? I'm going to tell you five things. And what that does is that positions you to be in a place where you can hear God's will. Because we found out that an unthankful heart darkens your spirit. An unthankful heart darkens your spirit. That's Romans chapter 1. An unthankful spirit. So I never want to say, well, when I go to church, I get diddly squat out of it. Don't say that, because people will recognize you got a dark spirit. You got a closed spirit. You got a wrong attitude. Because an unthankful heart closes my spirit to revelation. It closes my spirit to revelation. So then the opposite of that, a thankful heart opens my heart to revelation. So the minute I begin to thank God for these five things, I'm positioning myself to hear God's voice tomorrow morning, to know the next step, to know the next step, to make the right decision. So with that in mind, let me give you these five things, okay? Five things that we can thank God for, okay, in the darkest season of my life. Number one, his abundant grace. Can you say that with me? His abundant grace. We're saved by grace, right? Church on the Rock. Not by works. We're saved by grace. Acrostic, it's God's riches at Christ's expense. G-R-A-C-E. God's riches at Christ's expense. The grace of God is the power of God. The grace of God is everything God has for you and me. Wow. It's everything that God is. And it's everything that God can do. So when I can't think of anything to thank God for, I'm going to thank God for his amazing abundant grace. I'm just going to begin, thank you, Lord, I am saved by grace. And I serve you by grace. You give grace for my race. Oh, you got grace for every season of my life. Wow. Look at Romans 5, verse 17 on the screen. Watch this now. For if by one man's offense, that's Adam, the first Adam in the Garden of Eden, if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more, let's all say it, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, you will reign in life as a king. You do know you're a king's kid. You do know you're a king's kid. And you do know that you're to rule and reign as a king in life. Come on, somebody. You're to take your God-given authority And you're not to be a victim, you're to be a fighter. You're to get up and be a champion every day of your life. Oh yeah, the circumstances, the situation, trouble, problems, people, and pressure, and our past, we have to overcome. But we've been given grace to overcome all of it. We've been given grace to realize that your future is bigger than your past. Your future is bigger than your past. Your future is bigger than your problems. What would have happened if I would have stopped with the problems we were facing the first year of this church? You and I wouldn't be here today. But the grace of God is bigger than your problems. The grace of God is bigger than your past. The grace of God is bigger than the pressure that you're going through right now, mentally and physically and financially. The grace of God is greater than the people that are standing in your way, that are negative and critical and want to steal your dream. That's what we're thankful for. God, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, and no one can stand before me all the days of my life, because your grace is sufficient, Lord. So we're to rule and we're to reign as kings in life through the grace of God. Not our own ability, not our own strength, not our own talent, not our own personality. The grace of God supersedes all of that. Why don't we think for the impossibilities for next year? What do you say, Church on the Rock? Well, why don't you get out of the comfort zone? Why don't you step over the line? Why don't you believe God for the impossible, where you've never been, what you've never done, what you've never seen in 2026? The grace of God will equip us to do that. The grace of God will enable us to do that. The grace of God will cause us to rise above an average life. Amen, somebody. So I just want to share this thought with you. If we're to reign in life as a king, how do kings reign? Kings reign by making decrees. Kings reign by making decrees. Do you remember? It must be the Holy Ghost. Remember I started off this homily, this sermon, this talk with the language of a champion? You haven't forgotten, have you? The turkey putting you to sleep right now, or am I putting you to sleep, one or the other? Is that the language of a champion? So notice, if you want to reign in life, we got to get our language aligned, in gear, in connection, in agreement of what God says we are, what God says we can do, and what God says we can have. Wow, I love that. Let's go back. Here's another verse on the screen, 2 Timothy 1, verse 9. I love this. I love this. Let God's word talk to you. He saved us. Everyone say, saved us. Aren't you glad he saved you? Aren't you glad you're saved? Aren't you glad you're on your way to heaven? Aren't you glad the season you're in is temporary? Aren't you glad you're just a pilgrim passing through? Aren't you glad this too shall pass? Aren't you glad you got a long view vision? Oh, yeah, I'm so glad I'm saved. Oh, I'm so glad I'm saved. And then he called us. Aren't you glad you're called? Can't you thank God that you're called? He saved you. Then he called you. You're significant. You're important. You have a calling on your life. Oh, my goodness. And then it says he saved you and he called you, not according to your works, but according to his own purpose. So when I read that verse, what jumps out to me is saved, called, purpose. People with a purpose push through. How could I be in the same pulpit for 42 years? The same city, the same people. Or we got now, which is awesome, we got people who have grown up that came to our bus ministry. They're now adults with their own families that are coming back to church. It's so cool to see the circle. How can you push through problems and pressure that you're going through today, mentally, physically, financially, relationally? How do you do it? People with a purpose. People who have a purpose, it gives them power, resilience, and grit. It gives them power, resilience, and grit. You bounce back. You have purpose. You have meaning. You have a reason to get up. You have a reason to keep on keeping on. So I look at saved. I look at called. I look at purpose, and then I look at grace. Oh, we're thanking God for his amazing grace. We're thanking God for his amazing grace. And then look at number two. We thank God when you can't think of anything, you're going through a dark season, I don't know what to thank God for. Thank him for his plan for your life. Thank him for his plan for your life. We're not going to elaborate on this, but look at the scripture, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the, that's in the Bible. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Notice he's decreeing his plan over you. You should be decreeing his plan over you. I'm going to say that one more time because that was worth saying again. He's declaring his plan over you. You should be declaring his plan over you. You should be decreeing and declaring the plan that God has over your life and be in agreement with the Lord. He says, I declare the plans to what? Prosper you. I guess then really I wasn't that far off when I said next year for Church on the Rock and me and my family, we're going to expand and we're going to increase. Because aren't I repeating? No, aren't I biblically correct when he said your future is bright and to prosper you? Then can I just say that God wants to expand and increase my life, increase my family, increase our ministry, and be biblically sound? I think we can. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and give you a future. Give you a hope and give you a future. So we thank God for his amazing grace. Just dwell on that until the end of the holidays. Or if that's not enough, thank God for the plan that he has for your life. If that's not enough, then number three, thank God for his presence, the anointing, the glory, the Shekinah. Thank God for his presence because in his presence is fullness of joy. In his presence is at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. In his presence, the light comes on for the path for us to take. That's all Psalm 16, verse 11. In his presence, all of our enemies melt like wax. Oh, I like that. Look at Hebrews 13:5, the Amplified. Boy, this is really amplified. Look at this. Let your character be free from the love of money, including greed and lust and craving earthly possessions. Be satisfied with your present circumstances and with what you have. For he, God himself, said, I will not in any way fail you, nor will I give up on you, nor will I leave you without support. I will not. He repeats it three times because he knows I'm going to forget it. I will not, I will not, I will not in any degree leave you helpless or forsake you or let you down or relax my hold on you. Well, that's enough to give you a fighter's mentality, a champion's mentality, that you're never alone. And maybe your family can't be with you right now and you feel all alone. Rebuke that in the name of Jesus and begin to declare Jehovah Shammah is in my house. Jehovah Shammah rules over my emotions. You know who Jehovah Shammah is? The Lord, his presence and his peace. So he's there, right there. So I'm going to thank God that he never leaves me. I'm going to thank God that when I feel alone, I'm not alone. Never alone. He'll never leave me, never forsake me. Isaiah, as the team comes out, Isaiah on the screen. Look at verse 43, verse 2, chapter 43, 2. When you pass through, I like that, you're going to get through. You're going to get through it. I'm telling you, you're going to get through it. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you go through the rivers, it will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, it will not burn you. Neither shall the flame kindle upon you because the Lord is with you. So what do I thank God for when it seems like there's nothing to thank God for? I thank him for his amazing grace and all that does. Oh, my goodness. Then if that's not enough, I thank him for his plan and his purpose for my life. If that's not enough, I thank him for his presence in my life. I begin to meditate. If that's not enough, number four, what to thank God for? His promises. I thank him for his promises. I'm going to build my life not on circumstances or feelings. I'm going to build my life on the promises of God. I'm going to build my life on the rock. And when the storms of life come, I'll still be standing. 2 Peter on the screen, chapter 1, verse 4, where we're given these exceedingly great, precious promises that by them were transformed into the nature of Christ. Transformation comes when you and I feed, focus, meditate on the promises of God. Look at this, family, 2 Corinthians 1:20 on the screen. For all, let's all say it, all, for all the promises of God in him, watch this, are yea and amen. Well, what does that mean? All the promises of God will come to pass if we say amen. What does that mean? Amen means so be it, yes. So when you and I, the promises of God have the power to come to pass, but not until we say yes to the promises of God. I'll take that. I'll hold on to that. I'll claim that promise for my family. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I'll take that promise. I say yes. I say amen. All the promises are yes. That means they have the power to come to pass if I will say amen. I have to cooperate. I have to participate. I have to agree with it. What does the word say? Whose report am I going to believe today? I say yes to no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I render every attack dead, lifeless, harmless. I say yes that my God meets all my needs according to his riches and glory through. I say yes, Lord, that by your stripes I am healed. So what do I thank God for? I thank God for his promises. And last but not least, and here's my favorite. This is my favorite right here. I thank God when it's the darkest, I feel the loneliest, I don't want to get out of bed, I want to pull the curtains down, I want to go snort, chew, or go with girls that do. I think about my place in heaven. Yeah, I begin to get, I shift my focus from what I'm feeling and what I'm going through to my future, eternal residence. Look what it says, John 14:2. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, but I go to prepare a place. What do I thank God for? My residence in heaven, my place in heaven. Oh, wow. Verse 3, and if I go prepare a place, for you, I will come back. He's coming back, and I hope he comes back today. And receive you into myself, that where I am, you will be also. Look at 1 Peter on the screen, chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again into a lively hope in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Watch this now. To an inheritance incorruptible, watch, undefiled, don't miss it, and fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. If we're a Christ follower, if we're born again, if we've surrendered our life to Christ, we have a place reserved for you in heaven. He said that you have a place reserved, a mansion, and they've been working on it for 2,000 years. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what your residence is going to be like throughout eternity? Oh, my goodness. That's something to thank God for. So everyone say reserved and then reunited. I'm thanking God for my place in heaven because I'm going to be reunited. Remember I told you the story of my sadness, my sorrow, my loneliness, my darkness? Of when Stephen about died and we're planting his church and people said I was out of the will of God and I missed God. Remember I told you that my brother, who was my hero, I was 17, he was 22 when he died of a brain tumor, way too early. Remember I told you I was 29, I lost my father when I was 29, way too early. Lost my mother, lost my sister, my whole family. I'm the little, remember, but guess what? They're waiting for me. There's going to be a reuniting. I'm thanking God for that. Because you know what I know the Bible says? The Bible says your loved ones, this is Bible, that have preceded you are going to greet you when you go through those pearly gates. Did you know that? Oh, yeah, the Bible has a whole lot to say about that. You know, when a Christian dies, angels escort you to heaven. And then the Bible says that when you enter heaven, your loved ones will be there to greet you, and you'll be reunited with them. Oh, if I think about that for a while, I get pumped. I get stirred up. I get lifted up. And then not only reserve a place, and not only the reuniting of my family and my friends, but a release. I'm going to be released from this flesh and all the habits. You know, Paul said, the things that I don't want to do, I do. And the things that I should do, I don't. I can relate to that. How about you? There's going to be a release, because in that place, there'll be no sin, no sorrow, no sickness, no rape, no incest, no abortion, no divorce, no lack, no racism, no bigotry, no wars. In that place, come on, somebody, we'll be released. And then not only that, I thank God that I'm going to be rewarded. You realize that we're saved by grace, not by works, but you're rewarded for your works. That's why you want to do as much as you can for the Lord, storing up treasure in heaven, because heaven is not a communist country. It's not an entitlement country. We'll all have different rewards. We all won't be in the same subdivision doing the same thing, wearing the same clothes, driving the same angel car. You're rewarded according to your works. It's so important that you and I understand that there are different rewards for what we do down here. So you really want to work for the Lord with the right motive to get the right. When I thank God for that, well, I can't stay down in the mully grubs. And then last but not least, reassigned. Reassigned. What do I thank God for? My place in heaven. It's a place reserved just for me. Wow. There's reuniting there. There's a reunion going on there. There is reassignment that we're looking at going on there. And what do you mean, Pastor? We're all going to be working. Don't throw rocks at me. We're all going to be working. Work is a four-letter word, but it's not a cuss word. We're all going to be working. Really, Pastor? In the beginning, in the garden, Adam and Eve, you realize they were supposed to live forever, right? They were supposed to live forever. And what God do? He created a garden. He put them there. And he said this, work it. Work it. So God is the God of work. So we're not going to have church services for eternity and be with a harp and a choir and a white robe. There's going to be work for you to do, work for me to do. The Bible says we're going to rule and reign with him over universes, over worlds throughout eternity. When I think about that, I thank God for heaven, because that's my home and I'm just passing through. Five things to thank God for when you think you have nothing to thank God for. I'm done. Did I help anybody today?
Thanks for watching this week's message. One way for you to connect here at Church in the Rock is through the God is for You classes. These classes are designed to teach you about the culture, mission, and values of Church on the Rock, and about your God-given design. You can take these classes anytime by going to our website at cotr.org/God is for you. And if you want to know about all the incredible things we have here at Church on the Rock, make sure to visit our website at cotr.org. And never forget, God is for you.